I want to talk to you for a few minutes on out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old and in with the new. Now, that's sometimes going to be cliche at the end of the year. And you say, well, I've heard this one before. You ain't heard this one. I guarantee you ain't heard this one, because this one's about you. Amen. But out with the old and in with the new. You know, every time there's a change in life, something that we've been doing has to drop off and something new has to come into place. Have you ever tried to lose weight? If you try to lose weight, something that you've been doing has to drop off. The old has to drop off and something new has to happen, right? I don't like change. That's why I don't lose weight. Amen. But if you're going to change your lifestyle, you got to change something that you're doing, and that changes your lifestyle, right? Doesn't matter what it is. And so with every new something, something that you've been doing has to go away, or it goes into the past. And so I want to tell you a little bit about what's going away at LVA Church this year, what has gone away but has been great. I'm going to reflect on I know I can't get everything, but I'm going to reflect on some stuff just for a few minutes, if you'll let me, just for a moment or two here, and then I'll tell you a little bit about some scripture, amen? This year in 2023, we've seen people saved in this house. You can say amen and you want to. That's what we're here for, amen? We've seen people saved. We've seen people recommit themselves to Christ. Now, that depends on whatever, if you're Baptist or whatever, you know, to recommit or get saved. I don't care. Whatever you want to call it, you get recommitted. We started discipleship classes on Thursday nights. We've added new members to the fellowship here. We have paid our debt down considerably. Have you noticed that things like in the 60s? That's all we owe on this building. $2.1 million, they say. And we don't owe anything hardly at all. That's it. We don't have hidden credit card bills, and we don't have hidden this and that. That's it. That's all we got. And we've done that. You've done that this year, a lot of that this year. We gave some 300 plus Bibles away at our fall festival this year. We've cleaned debris from yards after storms, Miss Charlotte. That was a blessing. She wants to give you everything when you get over there, man. We have prepared, now hang on to this number, we have prepared some 2,500 meals on Wednesday nights. Think about that. That's probably a little low. That's about 50, feeding about 50 people every night, every Wednesday night, and that's probably low. That's, you've done that. You know what, how much it cost you? Nothing. 2,500 meals on Wednesday nights. Fed over 50 meals on Christmas Day just this year. We started new classes for our 4th through 6th graders this year. We added new teachers, brand new teachers. Men, by the way. Amen. Praise God. Wasn't a woman stepping up, but a man. Two men stepped up this year and are teaching classes regularly. Praise God. We packed 330 shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child. This church did. We received and shipped over 680 Operation Christmas Child boxes. As you well know, we're a drop-off center here for the community, for the area. We started that 2 years ago, though. We fed over 40 orphans every month for a total of over $16,000 this past year to people you'll never meet, probably. Someone you'll never, never see face-to-face and know it. But you did that from this little place right here called Lake Village, Arkansas, to a place 8,000 miles away. And all you'll get is a thank you from a pastor over there that you never know. But God sees it. I'm telling you, God's excited about when you give to orphans. The Bible says so. Read James 1:27. We've seen babies born and dedicated to the Lord in this house this year. We've raised over $2,000 for Hope of the Delta, which that number's going to go up. Come on, can I get an amen? At least from my deacons, can I get an amen? That number's going to go up. $2,000 for Hope of the Delta, which is a crisis pregnancy center. And last but certainly not least, we have prayed and seen the powerful healing hand of God move up on our church people that have been diagnosed with sickness and disease. We've seen it and we've witnessed it, and even people that ask us to pray for them that do not attend this church because they know that we have the power of prayer in this church. That's what God's doing in this house. So if you leave and say, well, I don't know what we're doing at the house of God. I don't know what our church doesn't do anything. The reason you think that is because you're not doing anything in the church. Come on, you know I love you. I'm just going to peel it out there like it's supposed to be. But God is using you to accomplish things he wanted to in 2023. But he's going to use you even greater in 2024. But we got to get rid of some old so the new can come in. Some of us are full to capacity. But we need to make a little room for Jesus. Boy, I could preach there for a while. Bill Kaneen said this, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift of God, which is why we call it the present. Think about it. Yesterday is history. You can't do anything about it. It's done. You can, only thing you can do about it is mull it over and worry about it. Won't do you any good. It ain't gonna change. It's history. Tomorrow is a mystery. You don't know what tomorrow holds. We can plan and prepare, and we should. But you don't really know what tomorrow holds. It's a mystery. That's why, hey, we got to look at the past. We need to plan for the future, but live for right now. Don't get so excited about the future that you forget right now. Amen? Amen. If you'll amen me, we'll get out of here by noon. If you don't, I can come up with something. Will Rogers, the great American cowboy, said this, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Now you think about that. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. And I think that's what happens a lot of times in churches, that we grow complacent. We get on the right track, we're doing it, and we just sit there. We stall out. We lose the mentality of the little engine that could. God never promised it would be easy. God never promised what he called you to do, that it would be just so smooth and everything would go great. I want to make this thing, this thought, or give you this thought, that probably if God called you to it, there'll be some obstacles. There'll be some opposition. There'll be some mountains to climb and valleys to climb out of. There'll be some streams and rivers to cross over. But it should build your faith. It should help you in your walk and your closeness with God. That's why we have trials. It's not for you that God says, let me see if they can handle this. I'm going to beat them up a little bit. No, you cross one thing so that you can build strength for the next thing that you may have to cross. I remember one time when I was a kid, we used to go camping all the time. Caleb, this is 4 years born. I'd like to welcome I call him my nephew, but he's really not my nephew. He's really my cousin. His mother and I, we're cousins. We're first cousin, but and that's David and Marcia's nephew, actually. And so that's Tim's son, oldest son, only son, not the oldest. Yeah, I guess you are the oldest too, aren't you? No, yeah, he's the oldest. Well, yeah, but not the only. That's right. I forget about the other. Yeah, I only know one really. And so good to have you all the way from Greenwood over there. He's, amen. I could tell you some stories about him if y'all want to know. He stayed with us a lot when he was growing up. But good to have you. And but when we went to camping at the same spot all the time on the Buffalo River up around Shirley, Arkansas. Anybody know where Shirley, Arkansas is? Ever heard of that? And we would go up there and we'd go camping, and we camped this same spot every year. I mean, even when it was sold, my great-grandpa, he cut the fence so we could go camp on that spot and get mad at the man for putting up a fence on his property because he's trying to keep us out from camping on the spot. My grandpa didn't own it, but he was going to camp there. But it was a really wide spot. It had a deep pool, and on one side there was rocks you could jump off of. Man, it was so awesome. And I remember as a kid, I couldn't swim all the way across it. But you could go upstream a little bit and you could walk across it. But you know, boys, we got to try it. And so what we would do when we start trying it, we'd have somebody on the inner tube just in case we couldn't make it. And you know, it took us a few years of growing before we could actually make it all the way across swimming. That obstacle was, that thing was really big, but the more we grew and the more we practiced swimming, guess what? The easier it came to cross that river, that creek. I'm telling you, that's what God does to you sometimes in your trials and your tribulations. Sometimes you think, I ain't going to make it, but you keep hanging on to the raft called Jesus. You keep hanging on to that lifeline called Jesus, and you keep trying and you keep paddling and you build your strength in Him, and I'm telling you, you'll cross whatever river that's in your life. I'm telling you. But sometimes you got to say, you got to get rid of this old thing. I can't do it. I just don't know if I can do it. I had an uncle one time said this, if you don't think you can, you're absolutely right. Think about that. If you don't think you can, you are absolutely right. You won't. You won't. So I want to talk to you a little bit. It's more of a motivational, let you know what we did last year. It's not really a theological message, but I do have scripture. I had some statements over the several years that I've written down, and one of those is this. Commit to excellence and make no excuses. Commit to excellence and make no excuses. You know, people that strive for excellence, they don't care about excuses. They don't care about yours. They don't make them. They say, how do I fix the problem that I had? They don't make an excuse because they didn't succeed. They say, how do I fix this so I can succeed? So you want to commit to excellence. As we move into 2024, in your personal life, in church life, in your serving God, commit to serving God with excellence. I believe if we could write down on how we serve God on a piece of paper and say, does that meet excellent standards? We'd say, absolutely not. I'm telling you that all of us, including me, leading the pack, have room for more excellent service for Christ. So commit to excellence and make no excuses. Again, how good do you want to be? How good do you want to be? How good of a husband do you want to be? How good of a wife do you be? How good of a mother do you want to be? How good of a grandmother or grandparent, grandfather? How good of a pastor? How good of a member of the church? How good of a teacher? How good do you want to be? You know, you're only going to rise to the level of how far you want to go. That's it. You're not going to all of a sudden say, boy, I'm so good at that. I arrived way up here and I didn't even plan to. No, that's not the way it works. You're only going to go as far as you plan. So how do you plan on becoming excellent? How good do you want to be? How good do you want your home life to be? How good do you want your marriage to be? Oh, it's going to take work. Glory to God, it'll take work. I mean hard work. Hard work. Sometimes harder than others. Because men have a tendency, we want to be right. Just because it's us men in here, I can say we need to have a men's meeting one time and I can say all the things I really want to say with no recording on and everything. Most of the time we are right. No. Here's what the Bible says about committing to excellence and making no excuses. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, what does that mean? Whatever you do, everything you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That key, there's so much package right there. We want to do so much so that men will praise us, so we'll get the glory of men. And the Bible says, oh, don't do that. Do it for the glory of God. Do it work like you're working for God. Don't worry about what men says or does to you or for you. Do it for God, not to men. Because see, what happens when you don't get the praise and the glory and the pat on the back and the attaboys and the attagirls, guess what? Then you say, well, I don't even like that church. They don't love me no more. If they just knew what all I'd done. Well, we may not want to know everything you've done. Come on, somebody. See, there are two sides to this stuff. It says, verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord. Now, we're not to please men. We work for the Lord. It says, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. And you are serving the Lord Christ. I'm telling you, put your focus on Christ. Put your commitment to excellence on Christ, being more Christ-like, and you won't be worried about whether you get 1,000 or 1,500 likes on Facebook. Who cares? I put something on Facebook. I don't care if you like it or not. I didn't put it out there for you to like it. I thought it was something, so I shared it or I put it out there. Amen? But some people I know, they, oh, if they don't get enough likes, look, we got to give them some two Xanax and take them to the hospital. God Almighty, come on, people, it's just Facebook. Y'all know my deal about Facebook, don't you? Don't compare your real life to somebody else's highlight reel. They didn't put that argument on there. Well, some of them do. Never mind. I can't say that. Some of them do. Some of them are just, hey, man, let me move on. I'm going to get off. I want to give you four keys, four things to becoming excellent. Are you ready? Four things to becoming excellent. Husbands, have your wives write these down because I know you won't. Amen. Number one is make sure your wife writes down these four things. That'll help you become excellent men, okay? I can see it now. Can I do it when Ralph's here? It's recorded. We'll do it. Number one is self-improvement. Self-improvement. How many of you can improve on you? How many of you think that your neighbor can improve on themselves? Come on, it's okay to say that. Yeah, amen, it's all right. I told you this story about me praying for my wife, didn't I? Let me tell you again, some of you hadn't heard it, but I was praying for my wife. She had these issues, Miss Joanne. I mean, she had issues. I mean, it's... Yeah. Boy, I was praying for my wife. She's right back there. I can say this. Bobby, if she gets up, you hold her. And so I was praying for my wife, all these things. I thought, well, she's got this issue and she got this issue. And I felt real holy. I was laying in bed one night. I put my hand on her back. Glory to God. I was feeling the Holy Ghost. Put my hand right on her back and I was praying. And I was saying, Lord, if you'd just touch her attitude. And Lord, if you'd touch this and you'd touch that. And the Lord, just in the middle of that, he didn't speak an audible voice, but in my spirit, he said, when are we going to get to your list? And my quick wittiness against the Lord, you know. I said, but Lord, we're talking about her right now. We'll get to mine later. But what happened is the Lord began to reveal me to me. And I began to pray about my list. And you know, the more I prayed about my list, the smaller her list got. Come on, somebody. I can say this. She's sitting right there. I can say that. The more I prayed about me, her list got smaller. Her problems weren't as near as big because I began to look at my stuff. So self-improvement, what are you doing to improve you? What are you going to do to make you better as a church member this year? A better teacher, husband, mother, father, what are you going to do? I can tell you, if you leave today and you change nothing, you're not going to improve. You will still be the same person doing the same things, getting the same results that you've always gotten. But if you want to do better, if you want to commit to excellence, what do you do? What is it that you need to do to say, I'm going to improve me? Don't try to improve others around you. They will let you down tomorrow. Improve you because you're working for you and you're doing it for the Lord, right? It's what the scripture says. So don't try to improve your ministry. Don't try to improve making more money or writing a better book or any. How do you improve you? Because when you improve you, all these other things will improve as well. Starts with you. What do I need to do different? Number two. So number one is self-improvement. Number two, your management skills. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not really in management. Yes, you are. Every person in this room is a manager of something. How many of you got kids? Okay, well, that's just organized chaos. I get it. All right, so that's like herding cats pushing a rope. You hear what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we got three grandbabies now, and the last one is beginning to crawl and walk some. Well, he's already crawling, but he's beginning to walk. And Lord help. You know, I didn't know people that couldn't really walk could be so fast. I mean, you're looking there, and they're all there, and we got one that's a mama hen. And she wants to hold both of them at the same time. She ain't big as a half a minute. But you put one down, I'm talking about just go get you a glass of tea. Come back, and you're panicked. Nobody's in the room. They can't talk. It's like, what in the world? And you're in panic mode. I mean, it goes crazy. So we manage, right? So what do? We just time. Oh, I can't say that. We're on. We tie them to the furniture and they can't leave. Put one on their leg. You know. Yeah, amen. No, but management. You're all in management. You manage time. You manage something in your life. So you need to learn to manage better. So your management skills. Are you always making excuses why you cannot or did not accomplish a task? Here's what I hear a lot of times in counseling. Pastor, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Pastor, I just didn't have time to pray. Pastor, I just didn't have time to come to church. Listen to me. It's a new Greek word I'm fixing to give you. Liar. You got the same amount of time as anybody else sitting in this room. You didn't manage your time so that you could come to church. But you had time. It comes back to management. I'm as busy as anybody in this room, probably busier than three or four of you at the same time. Most of the time, I'm a busy person. I like to be busy. Not putting anybody down. I'm saying I'm just a busy person. I'm, you know. My wife says, I told her, I said, what, she says, what are you going to do this weekend? I said, well, I'm going to rest Sunday afternoon. And I may not do anything on Monday. Liar. She was telling the truth. Time management. What are your managers? You've got to make time for God. He's given you 24 hours in a day, giving you 7 days a week, 365. What's that, days? In a year. It's up to you to do something with it. Do you know you're going to be held accountable for every word or deed? Everything you've done with that time? You know you're a time manager? If you don't manage your time, you will never have time to read God's word. You'll never have time to sit and worship him. You'll never have time to talk to your kids about the Lord. You'll never have time for church. And it gets worse as you go on and you get older. The enemy says, watch this. He's got all those ailments. Now you can't go, man, I passed 50 and I tell you, I just can't hardly get around. I just had to sit in there in my recliner and watch football. And I prayed to the Lord during that game. You did. Yeah, I prayed that such and such team would win. That ain't a prayer. Let me tell you something. God don't really care whether a football team wins or loses. Come on. I got them. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Say, two coaches are Christian coaches. I mean, godly people. And one prays to God, Lord, let me help me win. And the other says, Lord, let me win. Who does God answer? Come on, he don't care about no football game. He cares about souls, cares about you. Let me move on. Number one is self-improvement. Number two is management skills. Number three, this is the one that I think is so important. Never accept mediocrity as a means of excellence. Never accept just so-so as a means of excellence, as saying that's excellent. You're not excellent if you're doing what everyone else is doing, even if it's successful. Did you get that? Even if you're doing what everybody else is doing and that method seems successful, you can still be mediocre. If everybody's doing it, guess what? That's just mediocrity. There's not a pro football player, basketball, anybody in the pros. I don't really watch all that stuff too much. But those guys are athletes and gals are athletes. You hear me? I mean, you think about it. Anybody ever watch those ninja warrior things where they jump from this thing over here and they catch on this wheel, it turns upside down. And y'all ever watch that? Am I right? Ninja warrior? You think those people aren't elite athletes? Most of you can't even put your leg up here and put another chair and sit like this. Those guys stand up in the air with a foot on this side, and they're just looking around what to do next. I'm thinking, I got an idea. If I had to do, call 911, that's what we do next. Because something's fixing to happen. They didn't get to that ability, that level, sitting around with Marty being mediocre, eating Little Debbie's, getting heavy. They weren't on Facebook seeing if everybody liked what they did. No, they were out training. They were out doing what was necessary and eating right foods and eating stuff that didn't have salt and sugar in it. What a pitiful life. My dear youth pastor's wife, she got me a shirt a couple weeks ago. So she's a little heavy because of Little Debbie. I like the shirt. Amen. She asked Blade, do you think he'd be upset, be offended? She said, it's Ethan's dad. I'm okay with that. At least she knows I like Little Debbie's. When they come over, bring Little Debbie's. We're happy. But I'm telling you that mediocrity never means that you're excellent, even if you're doing it as good as someone else. So what are you going to do this year that gets you out of the mundane same way everybody else doing it? Everybody goes to church. Everybody raises their hands. Everybody prays. What are you going to do to be that superstar, if you will, for Christ? That super soul winner. That one that prays and touches heaven. And when you pray for somebody, sickness leaves and disease leaves and they're delivered from strongholds and stuff. When are the elites in the Christian world going to stand up? When we start managing our time to give him more of it. Come on, somebody. I'm going to hurry. So number one, self-improvement. Number two is management skills. Number three, never accept mediocrity as a means of excellence. And number four, stay focused. This is hard, y'all. I know it is. It's tough to stay focused because life comes at us 100 miles an hour. And you got 7 or 8 kids? You got 4, I'm saying. You got 4. She got 4 kids. I can only imagine. We got Bristol the pistol, I'm telling you, glory to God. Whoa. Just, she posts some things on Facebook and I'm thinking, oh Lord, Jesus, please help Megan, please God. Life comes at you hard and it comes at you in all kinds of directions. I mean, it's tough sometimes and you gotta stay focused. It bothers me when people can't stay focused from 1 week to the next. When the preacher will beg you to come to church and read your Bible and pray, and it's 9 months and you show back up. Well, I just wasn't focused. I lost focus. We didn't lose focus of that dollar bill out in front of you. Just chase it. I love y'all with all my heart. I do. You won't get to scratch your ear. What's that itching ears get scratched here? Not here. Stay focused. Do one thing until you have solved the problem. My wife keeps me in line. When I start doing something, I say, well, I'd like to do this too. She says, whoa. Pulls on them and come back, big boy. Hold up. My wife wished I had been born with blinders. They used to put blinders on mules. You know why? So it wouldn't be done. My wife helps me to stay focused. Men, listen to me. Your wives can help you stay focused. Men, women, your husbands can help you stay focused too. Just make sure you're staying focused on the right thing, on Christ and him alone. I'm telling you, I wish I had a couple of weeks to preach on this, but I don't. But staying focused, what's that thing that's giving you a problem that's causing you a problem right now? What is that thing in your life? Fix it. Work on that problem till you solve it. Work on that problem till you solve it. I mean, think about this. If you go up to a hot stove and you touch it 4 or 5 times and you get burned every time, the thing you need to do is not take the stove out of the house. Quit touching the stove and you can still enjoy the stove. You can cook on the stove and it'll bring nutrition to you. But don't take the stove out of the house. And that's what we want to do. We want to take the stove out of the house. We want to leave. I hear people all the time, well, I'm just going to get a fresh start. I'm going to move. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. And if you've done that, that's the dumbest thing you've ever done. Because before you get there, your problem is at the screen door. And when you start carrying in your first piece of furniture, it opens the door and says, where have you been? I've been waiting on you to show up. Because if you don't fix the problem, it goes with you. Amen? And so stay focused. Fix the problem. Fix that thing that's causing you a problem. Fix that time management that doesn't allow you to come to church. Come on, somebody. Fix that thing that doesn't allow you to read your Bible and pray and seek God. Fix that thing. It's a problem in your life. Fix it. You can. Oh, I got 3 minutes and 3 hours of message. I got a couple of more thoughts. I'm going to give you a little more scripture. So let's review. Self-improvement, management skills, never accept mediocrity as a means of excellence, and stay focused. Watch this now. In 2024, what if this was our thought, our mentality? What if this was it? What if each one of us assumed the responsibility to fill the empty seat beside us at church with the same responsibility that we put on others for not filling it. Now think about it. Let me read it again. What if each one of us assumed, took on ourselves the responsibility to fill the empty seat beside each one of us this morning with the same responsibility that we put on others for not filling it? Oh, that stings. Well, what do we pay that preacher for? We got an elected deacon board. What are they doing? Well, they're just making all kind of money, is what they're doing. They just get paid gobs of money to do the deacon board. Right, David? Yeah, I think your last check was zero. Just get all kind of money. Come on. Well, we got teachers, and you know, that's really their calling. No, it's your calling to lead someone to Christ. Put the responsibility on you. That was part of your being excellent. You become excellent. You win souls, and don't worry about what they're not doing, and you'll get a reward in heaven, because the Bible says, Colossians 3:23, that we're working for the Lord, not for man. Woo! Praise the Lord. Preacher, you're doing so good. Amen. I got 1 minute. Proverbs 6:6 says this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. That word means lazy. Sluggard means lazy. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard, lazy person? When will you rise up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. In other words, if you don't work for it, you're not going to get it, and poverty in whatever area you're working for will come to you. In other words, you won't ever attain it. Doesn't matter if it's money or winning souls or worshiping God or coming to church. If you don't plan for it, if you don't work for it, saying, man, this week's busy, I'm busy, but I'm going to be at church on Sunday. You ask my boy, is he in here? Is Ethan in here? He didn't leave the church, did he? Golly. I mean, oh, he's got the baby. He done left the church. I didn't know it. We start planning on Monday to be at church on Wednesdays and Sunday. Why? Because that's what I do. He can do it however he wants to when he gets on his own. But that's how we do it now. But I believe I've trained him that we're going to be on church on Wednesdays and Sunday. Well, French, you ain't got to be at church all the time. Nope. Church don't save you from nothing. But it keeps you where you need to be. It keeps you focused around the right people. Well, preacher, you get paid to be there. Let me just tell you something. You don't pay me to come to church. I'm going to come to church whether I get a dime or not. I was coming to church before I got paid. Amen? I'm going to come to church because it's not in the DNA. But we make preparations. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. You can't just do that. Well, I think you can. I shut down a business every day, every Wednesday at 4, so I can be at church on Wednesday nights. Don't tell me you can't. You may not want to, but you can. It's called management. Let me love on you a little bit more, and I'm going to go. Proverbs 10:26 says this, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. You ever had smoke in your eyes? Good Lord, what a great feeling to never have again in your life. Says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to whose he sins. So in other words, a lazy man is like smoke. If you send a lazy person out, it's like smoke in your eyes. You know it's going to be bad. Caleb, you ever sent one of your farm guys out to do something, you just knew that they couldn't accomplish the task, and you just said, well, let me go over and check on them because I know it ain't going to work out. And you get over there, and guess what? You was right. You think, Lord, why did I even send him to do that? It's like smoke in your eyes. Proverbs 13:4 says this, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent man shall be made rich. I'm not talking about money necessarily. I'm talking about things of what do you want? Do you want to be a soul winner? Then you can't be lazy about it. You got to at least learn the Roman road. Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, 8:9. You got to at least know how to lead somebody to the Lord. If you don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord, you're not going to be a great soul winner. Proverbs 19:24 says this, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it out to his mouth. Now that's lazy. I'm talking about that's bad lazy. We're going to put a bowl in front of you, put your hand in it, you say, I'm so dadgum lazy, I don't even take my hand, put it to my mouth. Now that's lazy. Please don't let them have offspring. Amen? It's okay. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. What is it saying there, Pastor? It's saying that he doesn't want to do anything, but he wants everything. When is the church going to say, we serve the King of Kings that can do anything, but we have to get up off of our blessed assurance and do something? That's what Scripture's really telling us. If you're lazy about anything, you're never going to succeed. And lastly, here's why, this is just a personal note. This is an opinion piece, but it's really true. Here's why you can't reason with a lazy man. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. I have seen that. I've run across it this week. They got an answer because they don't want to do anything. If they worked a half as hard as accomplishing what you ask them to do, man, as they did getting out of a problem, man, that'd be great. Spend 30 minutes trying to figure out how to get a problem and they could have done the thing in 3 minutes. Y'all know people like that? Amen. Hey, I want to encourage you, look forward to a good 2024. I'm telling you, God's got some good things if you'll commit to excellence and make no excuses about it. If you'll take on the responsibility of self-improve you and not settle for mediocrity and do some management of your own time, God's got great things for you. I know he does. He's got great things for this church, got great things individually, got great things for your family, your kids, but you can't sit on it waiting for it to happen. Amen. Sometimes you got to make some things happen. Amen. Will you stand with me across this building? Look, I was only 5 minutes after. I ain't preached in a week and a half, and that's pretty good. It's 30 minutes. Hey, this is 30 minutes. I started at 11:25. That's pretty good. Who's taking me to lunch? Amen. We'll sit back down. I'm kidding. Josh, I'll take you to lunch. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to pray and I'm going to bless you before we leave. Will you? Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for the moving of the Holy Spirit in this house. Lord, for touching lives, Lord, meeting people at their point of need, Lord. Those that were at the last hallelujah. Lord, those that could barely muster up a hand raising this morning. God, I believe that you have ministered to them and you have touched them, and I thank you for that, God. Lord, if we closed out 1 year, we closed out a chapter, Lord, in our lives, and we're opening up a brand new clean slate for 2024. And Lord, we're believing that we're going to put you at the top of every page. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these fine people that are here. Lord, I ask, God, that you would go with them, that you'd bless them. Lord, that your face would shine upon them, that they would find favor with God and with man. Lord, I pray that prosperity, increase, raises, and job promotions would come their way this year. Lord, and I pray that peace would rest over every rooftop, blanket it, Lord, so that when we lay down under our roofs, that God, we would find sweet sleep, not only to our physical bodies, but to our spiritual bodies as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.